Hey everybody, welcome everybody to shareenjoyment.com. This is Mordechai Plotzker. So tonight, I know that Baruch Hashem, there's been a lot of discussion about the Megillah. I just want to try to focus on the parsha a little bit. I really want to also have a separate share about the Megillah to walk you through Parak Aleph according to the Kedushas Levi and the Vilna Gaon. But tonight's share is going to be on two topics. The first topic is at the end of the parsha, we find that Moshe Rabbeinu blesses people. And I want to talk about the bracha for a moment. Second item that I want to talk about was the kiyar, which is the basin by which the Kohanim used to wash their faces. And, so starting with the last one first, we know that there's ample discussion about the zahav and kesef that was brought in order for all of the different instruments, the menorah, and all the clay kodesh that was inside the Mishkan. What's interesting is that there was also bronze that was used within the Mishkan. And where did this bronze come from? So Chazal tell us that it actually came from the mirrors that the women had in their possession. So the mirrors were encased in bronze. And when they brought this forward to Moshe, Moshe appeared to have gotten a little bit angry or upset about why were the women bringing these mirrors, for what purpose would they serve? Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu explained to Moshe Rabbeinu that these mirrors had a very special use. You see, Paro was gozer ala farim. Paro was decreed death upon the males. And you, the men, are even worse because, you know, you don't want to raise a family. You don't have a family. So Chazal tell us that the women would go down to the river and they would take glass jars and would make a miracle that there would be fish that would find inside these jars. And the fish would somehow be cooked and ready to eat. And then they would bring it to their husbands and they would have what to eat in the field. And they looked inside the mirrors and they saw each other. And as a result, they were able to create a family. And so these mirrors played a very critical usage in the continuity of the Jewish people. And so Moshe Rabbeinu, after being told all this by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, clearly understood that it's incredible how we can take a mirror which could be used for one purpose in the physical realm, and we could also use it in the same way that it could be used for a misguided purpose, it could also be used for a productive one. And much further than that, we also understand that, you know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is teaching us something perhaps so valuable in the sense that we can take something that's physical and then turn it into something that's spiritual. Spiritual in the sense that this was the basin, the kiyar, by which the Kohanim used this water to wash their hands and feet before they practiced the Avodah, which again was for the continuity and the sustainment of the Jewish people. So the transformation from physicality to spirituality is what enabled Klal Yisrael to persevere from one level of challenge to another level of opportunity. And that, my friends, is one of the critical core messages of Parshas Pekudei. And we owe a lot, as my father, Rav Shalom, whose yahrzeit is tomorrow night, used to always say in the house, Alas damama damama, everything that we have is all because of mommy. And my father had a lot of opportunities to, you know, to share. But he always gave credit to my mother. And my mother should be well. She was by me for Shabbos. And this is the 12th year of the yahrzeit. Is Heyad Debey. It's a very challenging time for me. I went to Beis HaChaim today. Just to share a quick narrative about my father. He was a very quiet person, but also a very giving person. And he came from the generation born in 1931. The generation of doers was asking for anything in return. You know, he was a person who gave of himself willingly and wholeheartedly and always wanted to give back to the community. I didn't want to focus on my father so much because I want to focus on the parsha as well, but just maybe a story or two, you know, just to highlight, you know, one of the more interesting things that I could recall about my father was that my father always taught us that, you know, you always have to, when I asked my father, I said, you know, can you tell me something about our family, something that I may not know? And he shared with me that, you know, his uncle was responsible for saving 167 Jews during World War II by financing their release. We had a very wealthy uncle, and he was able to finance their release. And then my father shared with me that he himself donated a significant sum, his mother Jerusha Breslov, and that's what put Likutim Aran on the development of the translation of Rabbi Nachman's magnum opus. They went to Rabbi Kaplan, and then Rabbi Kaplan said that he needed more time. He didn't think he had it. It was 1981. He was nifted in 1984. Somehow he was able to see that he wouldn't have the 10 years that he needed. It ended up taking 30 years in order to fully translate Likutim Aran, but my father spearheaded the project by giving away his mother's Jerusha. And then my father turned to me and he said to me, Mordechai, what's your yichas? I said, my yichas I don't have, you know, any personal yechus. My yechus is your yechus, chosavos, as I would joke with my father. And my father always said to me, every Jew has a requirement to create their own yechus. And when I heard that, I realized he was really speaking dvarim hayotzim min halev. He really wanted this message to come out. And so, you know, it's a lifelong struggle to live up to those words because my father was my role model. Okay, so the next part of the shir is on the blessing. We don't find Moshe Rabbeinu. Just want to dovetail this all together in the time that we have. That is that it says Vayivarach Osa Moshe, that Moshe blessed the Jewish people. And Pasuk says, Vayar Moshe es kol hamalocha b'inei asu osa asher tiva Hashem kin asu, Vayivarach Osa Moshe. And what's the blessing? What was the blessing that Moshe gave over? He said, Yirat tishu shechina b'masei edeichem. Inom Hashem alokino aleinu. And Rashi tells us that we should always see the sanctity of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in all our efforts and all our handiwork, and that we should be pleasant in the eyes of Hashem. And I think that there's a powerful lesson over here that we don't find Klal Yisrael complaining once in the parashiyos that we just went through, in, you know, beginning with Truma to Tzava, maybe a little bit of a break in Kisisa, but then we came back to the Yaakov Pekudei, so 5.5 parashiyos of discussion related to the Mishkan itself. And in all this time, we don't find Klal Yisrael complaining about anything, and there was no anger that they aroused with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Rabbi Sachs has a very nice essay on this, but I think that just to sum it up very, very briefly with brevity, it is that when we're involved in something, when we're involved in an action, we don't have time for the Yetzer Hara to arouse in us discontent because we're so busy getting the job done. The second things get done, or the second things are handed to us on a silver platter, sometimes that causes us to find fault in whatever's been delivered to us. It could be the mun, you know, complaining about the mun. Could be, you know, taking us out of Mitzrayim. We're not really sure what we're doing, where we're going. We don't really see the end game, so we start to complain. It could be, you know, in Sefer Bamidbar, where we hear, as the Kedushas Levi says, Bamidaber. We have instances of where we speak, what comes out of our mouth, whether it's Miriam speaking about Moshe, getting Saras, whether it's the Meraglim speaking about Eretz Yisrael, or other examples, including Korach, speaking poorly about Moshe Rabbeinu and then having an unjust result. So when we're busy doing something and we're actively engaged, then there's little room for us to complain. And I think there's a message over there of not just continuity, but there's a purpose. There's what they say, fit for purpose. We have to continuously work to improve, and we have to be busy with melacha. And Sheshi Shem Tava V'sitza Kol Melacha, right? We have to be busy doing things in order not to give the Eitz Hara Pischon Peh for us to do something that would be less than acceptable. And just to tie it all back, I think that opening up with this sanctity of the mirrors, understanding the two sides of a mirror, one that it could be used to enhance one's physical presence, but it also could be used in the sense that we're transforming it to a spiritual level where the bronze is now the actual basin, the water that's been held inside there, just like the same water that was held inside the glass for the perpetuity of the Jewish people, for the blessings that are inherent within the blessings that the Kohen Gadol gives to each and every single one of us. And messaging this back into Moshe Rabbeinu's blessing at the end of Parshas Pekudei, where we see that everything that we do, we should see at the Yad Hashem. And that means that sometimes we have to change a tire. We say, why did Hashem create the opportunity for me to change a tire? I could be doing something far more productive. Well, you know, even in that moment, you know, you have to realize that there's a reason why you're there. And when a person does a business deal, if they walk in feeling, you know, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is their silent partner, they walk in with confidence. They walk in with strength. The person has a challenging boss, and the person's, you know, irritable and not easy to deal with, and you still got to get through the day. Just remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is walking in with you. And if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is working, that means that whatever you're doing, and it could be secular, it could be religious, so long as you feel HaKadosh Baruch Hu and you try to create the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the work that you're doing, in the handiwork that you're doing, there's a blessing within that as well. So my blessing is the same blessing, and that is that we should be able to see the Yad Hashem in whatever we do. We should be able to create a yichus for ourselves so that the community, our family, our children can emulate that and build off of that, springboard off of that. And then just, you know, one more example about my dad. My dad was a pharmacist, and one thought that came to mind was at Shiva. It was 12 years ago, but I still remember three women getting up, not knowing or speaking to each other beforehand because they came from different parts of the, you know, they just came in different waves. And each one of them said that there was a time when I didn't have the Medicaid payment, and my father, I called up the pharmacy, and my father said, not to worry, I'll put the $7 in the register. And, you know, he did this for many different people. Whether he got paid back or not, you know, he never really told me that part. But he would also deliver the medicine, especially in the dead of winter when there was a lot of of snow and there were elderly women that couldn't come out of their apartments on the Lower East Side, he would go up to their apartments, ring the bell, put their medicine on the doorknob, and then go back down the elevator to deliver to somebody else. So before there was a doctor on call, my father was the pharmacist on call. And even I remember my mom begging my father in 1985 not to go out because there was like 5 feet of snow or 6 feet of snow. And my father said, no, the people need their medicine. And it was really important for him to serve us. So he wasn't somebody who ever looked for any praise or adulation. In fact, I think it was one of his pleas was not to get publicly recognized. Anything that he had done, including the tzedakah that he had given, he was nifter right before the finality of the Likutei Maharan, which took place literally a year or so after he was nifter in 2011. And, you know, I don't think he would have been able to accept that award. He was just that type of person. He probably would have said somebody else is more than worthy to speak. And I think that's just the Lower East Side trait. I know that, you know, just to dovetail back to Rav David Feinstein, that, you know, at the Siyum HaShas, they wanted Rav David to say a few words, and Rav David was more than happy to give it to somebody else so that that person can shine. And I think my father took the same message. You know, he was always willing to give the honor to others. And I feel that, you know, when you give honor to others, you know, the honor comes back to you somehow. So to keep it achon to my father, to make sure he's dedicated, you know, his memory, Menachem Mendel ben Mordechai. And we should only have the Surah Tovos and share and happy occasions together. And always remember that God is with us tonight.